And today, House Democrats have released transcripts of the testimony given by former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, and former State Department official Michael McKinley. We will be following that. But meanwhile, a top lawyer for the National Security Council, John Eisenberg, is a no-show today for a scheduled deposition on Capitol Hill, defying a subpoena and escalating the White House's legal battle with congressional Democrats. Eisenberg is a key witness for the impeachment inquiry. He reportedly was instrumental in locking down the transcript of President Trump's July 25th phone call with the Ukrainian president by moving it to a top secret server. So let's learn more about who Eisenberg is and his role in this whole saga. Tom Hamburger is an investigative political reporter for The Washington Post. And Tom, last week, Alexander Vindman, the top Ukraine advisor at the White House, testified that he listened in on that call where President Trump asked the president of Ukraine to investigate the Bidens. And Vindman said he raised concerns to the White House's top national security lawyer, John Eisenberg. What was Eisenberg's response, according to your reporting?
So what we learned about Colonel Vindman's testimony to the House impeachment investigators is this. He was alarmed as he listened in to President Trump's call with Ukraine's president on July 25, so unnerved that he went immediately after listening to the call to see John Eisenberg, the White House legal advisor on national security, to tell him that what the president did was wrong, that it seemed to be violating U.S. policy and seemed to be seeking personal political favors from a foreign leader. He testified that he went to Eisenberg's office because he was alarmed by what he had heard on the call. And the only response that he offered during the meeting right after the call was that the rough transcript of the call, the summary of the call, should be placed in an unusual spot, that is, the highly classified top secret vault, usually reserved for documents that would reveal sources and methods for U.S. intelligence and military operations, not for presidential call transcripts. In fact, we're told it's unheard of or virtually unheard of for such a call to be placed on a classified server like that. Mm-hmm. So that was one step. Another was a couple of days after the conversation, Eisenberg approached Vindman again and said, "I'd like you not to talk to anybody about what we discussed and what you observed in the call." Again, by itself, perhaps there's an innocuous explanation for this, but in combination with a couple of other factors that we're talking about here, it seemed to some as though it was part of a pattern or could have been part of a pattern or an effort to conceal or bury the substance of the president's conversation with his counterpart in Ukraine.
You also write that by the time Vindman came to Eisenberg in late July, Eisenberg was already familiar with concerns among White House officials about the administration's attempts to pressure Ukraine for political purposes. What did he know, and why is this important to note?
Eisenberg was aware of concerns from the national security staff because a couple of weeks earlier, on July 10, President Zelensky had sent a delegation of Ukrainian officials to the White House to try to shore up relations with the U.S. They couldn't figure out why it seemed there was a delay in getting a face-to-face meeting set up between the newly elected president and President Trump. And there were some concerns about whether legally mandated a military aid would be flowing to the Ukraine. And so they came to the White House, these two emissaries, on July 10 and had a meeting with the National Security Council staff, but also with three other individuals. One is a special envoy appointed by President Trump, Mr. Sondland. Another was Energy Secretary Rick Perry. And the third was a special envoy to Ukraine, Volker. And in the course of meeting with this group, those three, led by Sondland, seemed to be pushing a request for assistance and getting information that might be helpful to the president politically. Hmm. The conversation was a bit subtle, but it so alarmed John Bolton in this meeting that they had on July 10 that he quickly called it to a close. And then he later asked one of his associates, the national security advisor for Ukraine, to report what was observed to the legal office. And so the place that those Bolton advisors went was once again John Eisenberg. So on July 10, there was the first warning of an executive branch effort, this time not involving the president personally, but involving some of his top appointees, to seemingly introduce a question of seeking political favors from the new Ukrainian administration as a condition for getting a meeting with the president or getting needed aid.
Has Eisenberg or his lawyer responded to any of this?
Eisenberg has so far declined to comment, and the White House has declined to comment. The response that we have is really the response that is sort of visible today on Capitol Hill, which is where impeachment investigators hoped John Eisenberg would be sitting to answer questions. There will be an empty chair. Eisenberg is another of several figures at the top level of advisors to the president who are declining to respond to subpoenas and requests to testify in this impeachment inquiry. And so he is one of these figures who is now part of this constitutional drama that we're witnessing between the demands of the legislative branch and the claims of special privilege by the White House and the Office of the President.
And those other folks, Michael Ellis, also of the National Security Council, as well as Robert Blair and Brian McCormick of the White House Office of Management and Budget, they're all skipping this meeting, as you said, these meetings. What will the Democrats do next now that these folks have decided not to testify?
So there are others who are facing requests to testify who are even more senior. One is John Bolton, who resigned recently as National Security Advisor. He, remember, is the guy who is at the top of this national security establishment. And in a sense, the buck stops with him. He would be a critically important witness, and his testimony is considered vital.
So much to follow. That's Tom Hamburger, investigative political reporter for The Washington Post. Tom, thank you so much.
Good to be with you.